This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by Reality Sports Online. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. You can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by Pat Fitzmaurice at Fitz_FF. And today, up on the show, we are going to be planting flags, telling you about our favorite prospects from the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end positions in the upcoming NFL draft. But before we get to that, I got some stuff I got to tell you. And the first one is with the NFL draft coming up. I want to tell you about our Dynasty Rookie Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/rookie. We've got Dynasty rankings, trade advice, startup and rookie draft strategy articles, prospect and veteran profiles, mock drafts, and the latest news. Some of the content is free, but if you want to get the most out of our draft kit, you have to be a subscriber. Go premium today if you haven't already, and head to our Dynasty Rookie Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/rookie. And while you're there, why not check out our YouTube? We got a giveaway. If you go and subscribe to our YouTube, go to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest and enter for your chance to win a DK Metcalf signed jersey. Could be a classic if he gets traded during the draft and is no longer on the Seahawks. But all you got to do, subscribe to our YouTube channel, go to youtube.com/fantasypros, take a screenshot of yourself subscribed, submit it at fantasypros.com/dynasty contest, and you are entered in to win. This contest ends at the end of April, so make sure you get on it. Mr. Fitz, are you ready to plant some flags today, my friend? It is going to be a fun one.
It is, Bogman. I'm really excited about this, and it seems like a good time to do this, just a few weeks before the NFL draft, like almost a little over 2 weeks away, my man.
It feels too close, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like I need more prep time. I just need a little more time, you know.
We're just days away from smokescreen season starting, where we get the fake rumors about where who likes whom and all that. So,
yeah, we're getting the right now. We're in the process of which player has visited which team, which is always an interesting one, which I know affects me way too much in mock drafts. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have a position. I'll be like, okay, well, did they visit this guy? And if they visited, I just had one. You know, I won't mention it here because I'm going to be on the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast with Joe Pizzapia, Friedman, and Debro this week, and we're going to be doing a mock draft, but we're kind of doing our prep work for that, and I'm, you know, on the Eagles, I'm looking at corners, and I'm like, who have they visited? Because I like this guy, I like that guy for them, but they've only had visits with a couple, so I'm like, it's got to be one of these two guys. One of the other guys is already gone in this mock, so I know exactly who I'm taking. So it influences me a little bit, probably too much, because a lot of those are even smoke screens. You know, I've seen it plenty of times where a team will visit a ton of guys and draft like maybe one guy off that list. And that's just the process that happens right now. And we all always kind of get distracted by that stuff, right?
Yeah, we do. And I know what you're talking about. We just saw one where it was, I think, the Giants sent like a busload of people to Kayvon Thibodeau's workout. You know, when the team chef is going there to check him out, you know, it's pretty serious, apparently. And, you know, rather than just sending the GM and the head coach and maybe a couple of other guys. So, yeah, of course. And I had to mock Thibodeau to the Giants in my latest version. So,
well, I tell you what, if anyone ever got serious about signing me to a long-term contract and wants to send a chef out to see me, I'm all about it. You know, I will take a chef without issue. Let's go ahead and dive in, Fitz, on these. And just us today, I think this might be our first just us show here. So very, very interesting. But let's go straight into QBs. And we're each going to give you one. And I think most years will probably give you like a top end, a middle end, and a low end guy that we like. But with this class specifically, it's like, which one of the top five guys do you like? And the rest kind of don't seem to matter that much. You know, I know that there's a couple, you know, there's a lot of people in on Carson Strong. There's a couple people in on like EJ Perry and Skylar Thompson and guys like that down the list. For me, you're picking from this top end, and some of these guys are going to work out. Some of these guys aren't. So if you are picking a quarterback in this draft, Fitz, who is your quarterback going to be?
Yeah, and I didn't need more than one here, Bogman, because like I struggle. We've talked about this before, and I do not care for this quarterback class. Yeah. I think it's, you know, one of the weakest we've seen since the EJ Manuel year. It's just kind of rough. And I am intrigued by Malik Willis's tools, but I think he is going to be overdrafted as far as the pot odds on Malik Willis hitting, I think are not going to be worth where he goes in the draft as a top gotcha. 10 guy. I don't think the pot odds on him are good. But for a guy who maybe is not going to land in the first round, maybe will land somewhere late in the first round, I think if I wanted to put a bet down, Sam Howell would be the guy I would bet, just because he's the only guy who had an early breakout age. I'm falling back on breakout age here, Bogman. When he was 19, starting right off the bat as a big time recruit too, from the state of North Carolina, staying home, going to Chapel Hill, starting 13 games that year for the Tar Heels. And, you know, he had just turned 19 when that season began, like September 16th. So I guess he might have made a start or two at age 18. And winds up being ACC Freshman of the Year, has a very successful year in a Power 5 conference, winds up being MVP of the Military Bowl when they smoked Temple 55-13. And not only did he have three touchdown passes, he had a TD catch in that game. So he's mobile, like not
Tebow-esque.
Really.
I feel.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know if he's going to be a true Konami code guy, but he might be like Justin Herbert, who gives you a little bit of rushing value, I think. You know, we should hope he's going to be the passer Justin Herbert is. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But maybe that's the running value. He can improvise. He's kind of a gamer. I think he's a tough kid. And, you know, he got knocked for his junior season, but as we've talked about here, he lost Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, D'Ami Brown, and Daz Newsom after
his sophomore
year.
And I feel like Howell gets too much criticism for that. I feel like he gets a little bit too much criticism for that. You lost, you know, your four main guys.
Yep.
And so I feel like people should have expected him to take a little bit of a dip, you know, when you lose four talented players of that caliber. And he didn't even dip that far down. He still had a pretty solid season.
It wasn't like the numbers were terrible. So I just think, based on the early breakout age and the three pretty solid years of production and, you know, coming out, entering the draft early, like I think he is just the best percentage play bet of any quarterback in this class.
I like it. For me, I feel like Sam Howell is Baker Mayfield, but a little bit better runner. That's how I feel about him, which is a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL. As much as I like to hate on Baker because he went to Oklahoma and you know, hasn't really done a ton with the Browns. He took them to the playoffs. He won a playoff game against a huge rival in Pittsburgh. So there is definitely meat on the bone with Baker. You know, I don't think he is completely done. We'll see if he latches on somewhere else. But I would put Howell in that area. For me, I'm going to go the opposite of your initial take. Malik Willis is going to be the quarterback that I plant my flag on for this upcoming draft. And, you know, when you look at a guy like Willis, you get eye-popping comps. You get Mike Vick, you know, right-handed Mike Vick, because he can run and he's got a huge arm. You get Lamar Jackson because he's right now a run-first quarterback. But that doesn't mean he can't throw the ball. And to me, I think any quarterback in this class, because we're looking at them all as kind of projects, I think what you want is, instead of a ton of great film, I mean, obviously you want a ton of great film for everyone, but you want the raw ball of clay. And I think that's what Malik Willis is. And I think he's going to work hard enough to become a better quarterback. The huge arm and the running ability are just traits you can't teach. You cannot bring in a guy and teach him to have a better arm or teach him to run faster. These are unteachable assets. That's what you get with Malik Willis. The traits are there. He just needs to be groomed. And I know the big comparison that everybody likes to make is Josh Allen. But Josh Allen is what you get when everything hits perfectly. And no one's going to do that. So I don't think there's a Josh Allen in this class. I do think if there is one, Malik Willis is the closest. But here's my favorite comp: Cordell Stewart. Cordell Stewart was slash in Pittsburgh. He played a wide receiver, running back, you know, anything they wanted him to. And I don't think Malik Willis is going to have that type of versatility. But when Cordell was finally under center and got the job, they kept switching offensive coordinators on him. He had like six offensive coordinators in 7 years. I think if you get Malik Willis into a system and you're not changing the coaches on a consistent basis, so if he goes to Carolina and they fire Matt Rhule year one, it's going to be bad for him. You know, so I think if he goes to a team like Pittsburgh, where, you know, maybe you switch an offensive coordinators, but your head coach is going to be Tomlin for a long time, I think for a guy like Willis, it's going to be much, much better. You know, he crushed the interview process. I think the Carolina fit is perfect in terms of the players that he'll have surrounding him: Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, probably another wide receiver that they draft. I like Tommy Tremble. I'm a big Terrace Marshall fan. I think those would be good spots for Willis. That'd be a good spot for Willis, but I don't know if the Carolina situation is going to be good for him. And unfortunately, that is what we're going to have with all of these quarterbacks, because they're all raw lumps of clay right now and are going to need to be rolled into something good. You know, like I said before, watching him against Ole Miss and watching that tape, for Willis, it was, this is going to be my QB1 on the board, right? And by halftime, I was like, I don't know if this guy gets drafted. He's made so many mistakes. So it's unbelievable. But he's playing at Liberty against an SEC school. So you go back and you watch the film. Obviously, there are things that you cannot teach someone in Malik Willis. And I think if you can get him a good OC and really get a system that fits for him, he's going to take off. But we'll see. Your thoughts. Did my elevator, you know, pitch here? I've been reading too much Waldman. Did my elevator pitch work for you?
It's funny, Bogman. There are probably some people who winced when you made the Cordell Stewart comparison.
Yeah.
But they forget that I think Cordell Stewart was probably the QB1 in fantasy drafts in either 98 or 99.
That's right.
One of those years. I can't remember which one. Because he was really one of the original Konami Code quarterbacks.
Yeah.
One of the cheat code guys. So I don't think that's a bad comparison at all. But it's interesting to me, Bogman. If you'll recall, it was at about this time last year that we started to get the rumors about Justin Fields and his processing ability, that there were some teams that worried about his ability to process the field, make reads, and, you know, another big arm guy with running ability. And we Right. have not heard that about Malik Willis, even though I think Justin Fields is like a superior prospect who played against much better competition.
Yes.
So I wonder if we haven't heard the same type of concerns just because there's no one that Willis is really going up against in this class. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like last year.
Well, also, I think a lot of teams were, I think more teams were vying for quarterbacks up at the top of the draft.
Yes.
And you got more smoke screens last year as well.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. But I also think part of it was kind of valid because we saw Justin Fields drop last year. But I would be pretty surprised if he got past, well, I don't think he's getting past like Washington. I mean, that would probably be the ultimate backstop. But I'll be pretty surprised if he slides past Carolina. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints took that extra first round pick they acquired from Philadelphia.
Move up again.
Bundled their picks together and tried to jump Carolina.
We thought that's what they were doing for Lamar Jackson a couple of years back. And they moved in front of someone and took Davenport.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was an interesting move. But I like that thought process. So, you know, obviously we're going to have way more to talk about post draft here. But, you know, it's interesting trying to kind of put these guys in a place. I think Carolina would be great, but they got to make sure Matt Rhule's not going anywhere. And I don't know if that's the case. So let's go over to running backs now. And we both have the same number one overall RB on our board. So why don't you just break the news to everyone? Who is it?
Yeah, it's Captain Obvious. And if we're planting flags, it almost feels, you know, dirty to do it on a guy who's everyone's RB1. But, you know, everyone, we like this guy going into the combine. And then he goes in, runs a 4.39, kills it in the other tests, winds up with 98th percentile speed score because he does have that pretty perfect NFL running back build at 6'1", 220. I mean, I think that's almost like the perfect size for a lead NFL back. 94th percentile burst score. This dude's just got athleticism for days.
Have you even said his name yet?
Have I said it? Breece Hall? Did I not
Breece,
say it?
Breece Hall. So I wasn't sure if you said
apologies
Breece Hall
if I did not actually say Breece Hall. So, yeah, he had a promising freshman season at Iowa State, then really gets it rolling. 1,572 rushing yards as a sophomore, 1,472 rushing yards, and just under 1,800 yards from scrimmage as a junior with 46 TDs in those two seasons in Ames. Breakaway speed, run vision, patience. I don't know, Bogman. I've gone back and watched more of Breece Hall these past couple of weeks, and it seems like he's got, I don't know how to even articulate this, but maybe a good understanding of play design. Like he seems to know what his blockers are trying to do.
Patience and vision.
Yeah.
You know, very late Le'Veon Bell-esque, a patient runner with good vision. So I'm absolutely with you on Breece Hall. The thing for me with Breece Hall, since we're both, you know, number one on this guy, is his ability. From day one, he's going to be able to drop in and be a three down back for whatever team he plays for. You know, I feel like this is an easy comparison because I get this a lot and I get this in my head and sometimes I can't get it out. But another guy that played at the same school, I'll have another comp of this nature later in the show, but David Montgomery. But like he is a little bit better at everything, I feel like, than David Montgomery. Or, you know, a cheap man's Matt Forte. I think that Matt Forte is about his ceiling, which is an incredible ceiling. Remember, Matt Forte was the number one RB off boards just a few years back. I say a few years, probably 10 years at this point. But, you know, I feel like these are very, very similar players. They're three down backs where, you know, this type of a back is being phased out. I guess the issues, if you had them, were, you know, probably more about the guys that he played with at Iowa State than about him. So, you know, and I know there are other people that have been talking about how, you know, why isn't this running back class being talked up as much as last year's? I do think it is underrated, this class. And Breece Hall sits at the top. We both like Kenny Walker too. It's not a knock against him, but I think it's more of an infatuation specifically with leagues going, you know, more and more every day towards PPR because so many backs are catching the ball. And I think that is Breece Hall's best part of his game is running routes and catching the ball. And when he gets into a system that's going to use that, or if he goes to a team that is down a lot, he's not going to be coming off the field. So there are just so many ways for Hall to score you points. I think he's going to be good kind of regardless of draft spot, right?
Yep, I think so. Even if you go, like, we've talked about this possible landing spots. If he goes to somewhere like Atlanta and Houston, yeah, you don't love the touchdown potential there. But you do love the fact that he's going to dominate touches.
Yeah, he touched the ball 400 times. It'd be like Najee Harris and Christian McCaffrey in those spots. It'll be ridiculous.
Exactly. And maybe you would hope he goes to a little bit better of an offense and maybe he has to share the ball a little bit, a la Javonte Williams last year.
Yeah, I mean, just better for his long-term outlook. So, all right, so we both got our number one here. So who is number two on Fitz's RB board or just the guy that you want to plant a flag on here?
All right, so this is a guy I kind of became fond of late in the process, Bogman. It was Brian Robinson, and I guess one of the reasons I was slow to come around is because he's an older prospect. You know, was at Alabama for 5 years. One of the reasons he was at Alabama for that long, he was waiting his turn behind the likes of Josh Jacobs.
All the other guys in the NFL.
Yeah, the Harrises, Damian and Najee. And yes, I don't like Brian Robinson as much as I like those guys, but, well, those guys are all pretty exceptional prospects. Yeah. And at 6'2 and 224, like, Robinson is going to have a place in the NFL. And he really has that early down banger skill set. Like, he is a downhill runner, you know, and like, not a slow guy either. 4.53 at that size is an 85th percentile speed score. So, like, once he gets going downhill, man, he is a rolling ball of butcher knives to try to tackle. And, you know, like, very productive that last year at Alabama when he finally got his chance. 1,343 rushing yards, 296 receiving yards, not a bad pass catcher either, 16 touchdowns. So decent feet, decent hands. I think he's going to fit right in as, like, an early down battering ram rotational back for someone.
Yeah, I like Brian Robinson a lot, too. You had him on the board, but there are a couple other guys I like here as well. So I didn't put him on my board, but I'm glad you brought him up because Brian Robinson, you know, I think one thing that gets lost in the shuffle of all of these great RAS scores and Spark scores and whatever you want to say from the combine is the guys that tested really well, but they're not at that elite level. Like most guys are, but if you drop them into any other class, they would be pretty strong. And Robinson is one of those guys where he's a huge back. He runs fast, may not be the best pass catcher, but that is something. It's not like he can't do it. You know, that is one of the things. He doesn't have frying pans for hands. He doesn't know how to, you know, it's not like he never will be on the field on third downs at all. The guy can play. And, you know, even if he's not a fully functional number one back like Breece Hall coming in, doesn't mean he can't learn and grow because all these guys are still learning and growing, even the older prospects. So I love that you came around on an older guy. We gotta be okay with some of these older guys, Pat, you know, with our age.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, I think Tom Brady's the only guy left in the NFL older than me. So we're just getting to that point. But I'm going to give you one of my running backs, but before, I want to tell you guys about Reality Sports Online. And by now, most of you have heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It is not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. All you got to do, it just requires a little more strategy. That's it. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. So my second back here is going to be James Cook. And, you know, I think James Cook is way closer to his brother Dalvin than I think he is getting credit for. Now, he's definitely a pass-catching back first, and he does that amazingly well. I mean, if you watch any of the college football playoffs, you saw him put on a performance. He was cooking linebackers and safeties and even corners. He was beating on shake routes and stuff. I mean, the guy is an absolute dime as a pass catcher. And the explosiveness and the ability to make defenders miss make him dangerous enough to be a home run threat on every single touch. So, you know, this is a guy that is probably going to be a B in a system when he starts. Wherever he goes, he's probably going to be the second back, unless, you know, he gets drafted by Houston or Atlanta or one of these teams that has no lead back at all. But the nice thing about a guy like James Cook is that you don't have to have him touch the ball 30 times for him to be productive. If he gets 15 touches, which would probably be a lot for a guy like him, especially a rookie, one of those is going to break for a big gainer. You know, he might have a couple threes, seven, fours like that, but one of those is going to be 20. One of those is going to be 15 in a first down. He's going to have a catch for a huge play down the field. So I think this guy is going to be good for one big play a game. Maybe he scores on it. And the more big plays he makes early, the more teams are going to want him to be on the field on a consistent basis. So I think this is a guy that specifically for Dynasty, you draft, you can get him a little bit later than a bunch of these big backs that are going to go that are potential three down guys. You can get him a little bit later. And you can watch him develop and grow into a bigger role. Plenty of guys have done this. Austin Eckler is the best one. Austin Eckler is way undersized compared to James Cook, but he just has that mentality. He has that ability to stay on the field. He has the ability to make a big play. I think James Cook is in the same type of mold as his brother, but he just doesn't receive enough credit for it yet. So, Pat, your thoughts on James Cook?
Yeah, I think you're right, Bogman. What we're going to get from him at minimum is a Nyheim Hines type back who's going to come in and be that passing down guy. But what if he's more than that? What if he is, as you mentioned, closer to his brother Dalvin or closer to Austin Eckler? And we were just kind of thrown off the trail by his work share with Zamir White. Like, right. What if he's capable of handling more, but we just didn't see it? So I like that call a lot. Safe floor. And maybe a higher ceiling than a lot of people think.
Who is going to be your third back you plan? We're going to do four total here. So we both have Breece. Your second guy was Robinson. Mine was James Cook. So who is number three for you?
I'm going to go with Rashad White. And like James Cook, this is largely predicated on White's potential as a passing down back. His last season at Arizona State, 43 catches, 456 yards and a touchdown as a receiver, three down skill set. He's good in pass pro. I think he can come in and do that right away for an NFL team. And there is potential for more. We didn't really see the full spectrum of his rushing ability, I think, at Arizona State. I mean, he did have 1,000 yards his last season there, but, you know, with 4.48 speed and decent size, I think he's 6 feet, like around 214, 215. Like there's potential there, but I think at minimum he can come in and be someone's passing down back, very much like James Cook in that regard.
Yeah, and he's got enough size to be more than James Cook too. So I'm definitely in on him. You know, Arizona State had some struggles this year. Daniels took a step back, end up transferring. So their offense didn't look exactly the same. They've really been missing Brandon Ayuk on that squad for sure. And they've had some good players there. But, I mean, Rashad White, it was kind of at the end of the year, everyone knew it was coming. And they still couldn't stop him. So any guy like that, you know, you like to have on your list. So I like that pick. I'm going to go right back to Georgia for my third back, and I'm going to go with Zamir White. And I got to be honest, it surprised me because I think my initial thought of Zamir White is, okay, you know, here's a dude that is at Georgia, and Georgia splits time with everybody, right? Every back is split there, but they've had some incredible guys come out of there. And I think a good comp would be Sony Michel, but with more speed. You know, Sony Michel was a very much a first, second down runner. That's it. Got drafted by New England. That's what they wanted him for. Didn't really work out, so they cast him asunder, and here comes in Damian Harris to run the exact same role. Not really a pass catcher. Not that Damian Harris can't do it, and I think it's the same deal here with my guy Zamir White. I didn't expect to like him because he kind of got beat out by James Cook for some of those downs. But when I look at James Cook and I go, God, how can you keep this guy off the field? That's kind of my thought process. It's the same thing for Zamir White. He's a first, second down runner. He's the opposite of what James Cook is. He probably won't be a huge factor in the passing game, but he can catch the ball. Running routes isn't his forte yet because they just let James Cook do all of that work. But I think you see what New England did with Damian Harris. And of course, they're the perfect scenario for a guy like Zamir White. So whatever situation he lands in, it may not be as good as that one. But if he lands in a good situation and he can get first and second down, I think, you know, he's just that type of grinder. Even though he's not as big as most grinders are, he's not as big as Sony Michel was coming out. You know, he weighed in 214, which, I mean, 214, he looks like he plays at 230. You know, so 214 was a little surprising. 5'11", so he's under 6 feet, but he has enough wiggle to make a guy miss, and he's got enough speed to make them pay dearly for missing. So I think that those two factors are my favorite for Zamir White, and I think if he lands in a good situation, you know, if they drafted him, at, you know, Houston, Atlanta, someone that really needs a back, they draft him and let, you know, Atlanta would be a perfect scenario. You have White run first, second down, and you have Cordarrelle Patterson to come in and be third. You have Mike Davis to come in and be third, however you want to work it. I just think that he is that grinder type that if drafted to the right scenario, he's going to be real good. Now, if he gets drafted to Denver, then he's a straight backup. So that is going to impede his development. But I think if he gets drafted in a good scenario where we could see him get that first and second down work, I think he's going to earn a pretty big role quickly. So your thoughts on Zamir White out of Georgia?
It is always interesting to try to figure out what to do with guys who come from good two or three headed backfields in college.
Yeah.
And the one interesting one, and we brought it up earlier, was the Alabama situation when they had Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, Najee Harris.
Every five-star. Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of had an inkling that all of those guys were really good. And sure enough, they are all, like, you know, lead guys or heads of committees in the NFL. And as recently as last year, we saw with Javonte Williams and Michael Carter, where you could kind of make the argument, well, if Javonte Williams is so good, why was Michael Carter playing that big a role? And it's like kind of a fallacy to come at it from that perspective. Like, Zamir White and James Cook are both very good college running backs and good candidates to be no worse than committee backs at the NFL level. But maybe there's room for more. Maybe they were just so good and kind of vampiring each other's touches in college. And we're going to find out that we had both of them underrated.
Yeah. And we definitely could have. And, you know, Georgia is, you know, everyone expects it from Alabama. I guess maybe just the perception, because Georgia, you know, just won their first national title in a million years this year, is that no one else is Bama. Plenty of Power Five schools are Alabama that have multiple four-star guys at different positions, and they're just waiting their turn in the rotation. And, you know, a lot, you're going to see a lot of those guys on this list. And there are plenty of guys that have, you know, split the backfield in college, and they don't have anyone that talented next to them in the pros, and they become better. I think Damian Harris is a clear example of one of those guys. So, who is your last running back? Four RBs. You got one more left. Who's it going to be?
Well, Boggs, when we have Matt Waldman and Thor Nystrom on our show, and they are both on the same guy, even though he's probably a likely day three pick, you know, two talent evaluators that good at what they do, and they're both on Kennedy Brooks of Oklahoma. So, yeah, and why not? I mean, Kennedy Brooks had 3,000-yard seasons at Oklahoma, including his freshman year in 2018. And, like, not really an explosive dude. He's not going to wow you with pure speed, but he is just a smooth and instinctive dude. He finishes every run. The guy just seems like a total gamer. And maybe I think modest expectations are kind of the key here, because he is going to be a day three guy. He's right. going to be a dart throw. He's going to be a round three or round four guy in rookie drafts. We don't really know if he can catch, because he wasn't asked to do that much at Oklahoma. But as a runner, I like him a lot. And, you know, I feel like I've got some pretty good wingmen with Thor and Waldman also liking him.
Yeah, you know, the thing about Kennedy Brooks being a Texas fan, I watched a lot of the Big 12, and it's that they kept trying to get someone better than him, and I kept going back to him. That was kind of what it was they thought, I think it's the explosive thing that you mentioned. They're like, well, he's not turn on the burner. He's not the guy that makes huge plays, but he was the guy that kept making consistent plays. And if you want to see an example like that, and it's probably, once again, you know, it's completely biased and all that stuff because guy that I watch a lot, but I think the prototype of a guy that doesn't have crazy explosiveness or runaway speed at the running back position is Le'Veon Bell. Now, there's not 100 Le'Veon Bells, right? There's just not. But that is the upper echelon of a guy that's not going to run away. He never made huge, enormous plays, Le'Veon Bell. He just consistently caught the ball. He was there for first downs. He broke tackles. He wiggled through a line that looked like there was no hole. He found it. And I think that is what you're going to get in Kennedy Brooks, a smart runner that picks you up yards from his vision and from his experience and not necessarily from his athleticism. So I like that pick. Unfortunately, don't tell anyone that I just, you know, praised an Oklahoma player, but I think it is a decent pick. You'll notice he's not on my list, though. But
yeah, your secret's safe with me, Bobby.
Yeah, yeah. No Sooners on my list here. My last running back I'm going to go with here is just one of my favorites. And the more I watch him, the more I like him. Ty Chandler out of UNC. And my comp to him would be Willie Parker. Once again, a guy that I watched a ton of. So I kind of put these two together. But the thing for me is the pop once he gets past the line. And I know he doesn't, you know, he ran a 4.38, which is great. I don't know if he plays at 4.38. I don't know if anybody really plays at 4.38 on the field. That's not Tyreek Hill, right? But you see that pop when he gets past the line, and it's hard to run a guy down when he gets a full head of steam running like that. And I think that's what you're going to get out of a guy like Ty Chandler is big, explosive plays. The reason I like him on this list, and I think I like him even more than Willie Parker, is he combines that unbelievable pop and acceleration past the line. I don't know if he's going to hit a second or third gear, but I mean that pop past the line is so huge. Plus the guy can catch, and he can catch the ball in some crazy scenarios, contested catches. He runs decent routes. He can get downfield and make a big, big downfield play too. So I think he's more complete than people are giving him credit for. He's not going to stack moves on moves, but if he makes a guy miss, and he can wiggle past you or, you know, get out of a, you know, get out of an arm tackle or something, he is going to make a team pay with a big explosive play. So another guy, a lot in the mold of James Cook. You know, I have Breece Hall's kind of your three down guy, your upper echelon running back. James Cook and Ty Chandler are guys to me that are going to make a big play for you, even if they're not going to touch the ball 25 times a game. You know, you want them to get 15 touches and you can have faith that one of those is going to pop for a big play. If they get in the end zone, extra bonus. And then I have Zamir White, who is your in-between-the-tackles grinder type. So I'm a big Ty Chandler fan. Have you watched enough Ty Chandler to kind of round out an opinion on him? And or are you going to go back and look now? Because I'm telling you, it looks like Willie Parker that can catch.
I'm going to have to take a second look. But we saw the speed at the combine. Wasn't he the fastest running back?
Yeah, 4.38.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. He is going to be on a team. Like, there's no question he's going to make a roster with that sort of speed. Wouldn't surprise me if he was returning kicks in his first year in the league.
That would definitely be his job to start, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like a guy like that, if he's going to get a chance eventually because that speed is going to keep him around. And we know that in the NFL, running back is often – as much about opportunity as it is about talent.
Right. And I'm excited to see him get a chance. Obviously, probably like you said, with your last guy here in Brooks, a day three pick, most likely. But depending on the landing spot, I'm really excited to see where he goes and see if we can get him on the field sooner rather than later. Let's pop over to the wide receivers. And who is your number one wide receiver that you want to plant a flag on here, Fitz?
I'm going to go with Chris Olave, Bogman, because I think Olave is the safest of the first round receivers. Just a smooth, precise route runner with killer speed, you know, sub 4.4 speed, 4.39. And we've also seen some pretty good hands. We saw him repeatedly, you know, be underneath the deep balls from
Stroud.
And so like the safe floor, I think he's always going to be more of an air yards guy than a yards after catch guy.
Like, yeah, I think he's, that's a good point.
Yeah, like he's not really one of those guys who just get the ball in his hand somehow and watch him after the catch. Like, no, I think you want to get it to him downfield because he's going to get himself open downfield. And, you know, never had a 1,000-yard season at Ohio State. But then again, you know, we had a COVID year and look who he was sharing the field with, man.
Yeah, so much talent there.
Right. Not only Garrett Wilson, but KJ Hill, Victor Benjamin, and basically
Jameson Williams had to transfer.
Could not get on the field.
On the field with Olave and Wilson.
So, yes. So exactly. One of the reasons Jameson Williams transferred. So, I think he's the safest guy in the first round.
And he did it on a consistent basis. I know that Garrett Wilson probably has more public love than Chris Olave does in this pre-draft process and everything, but Olave did it for longer and was the number one wide receiver for longer than Garrett Wilson was. And they're going to have Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be probably the number one wide receiver on boards next year.
Yep.
And he just put up 300 yards in the Rose Bowl. Guy's incredible. So add all those guys on the field, Ruckert, who we're going to be talking about later, plus all those big backs that are going to be coming out of Ohio State as well. And this guy was consistently putting up numbers. I am on board with you loving Chris Olave. This class is so good up top. It is really, really good. But my number one, and I know is a guy you're going to mention, and I'm glad I get to talk about him first between us because he's my favorite wide receiver in this class. I'm sticking to my guns. I thought I was maybe going to switch because, like I said, I can get a little Pollyanna with prospects. Like, I want to see the good, you know. The bad can be worked on in most cases unless it's like real bad 40 time, real slow speeds like that. Like Jalen Weidermeyer is the example of, you know, he looks good on the field, but then you see these unbelievably terrible numbers and you're like, oof, you're not going to keep up. Not with all these other tight ends that are running, you know, sub 540s. It's just, you're not going to work out. But Treylon Burks is my favorite wide receiver in this class. Came in a little bit smaller than we expected him. You know, I think he's listed at 6'4 the whole time. 6'2, he plays like he's 6'6. I mean, he just does. When you see him out there with rough quarterbacking at Arkansas, you know, you see him run short routes, intermediate routes. They use him like Deebo Samuel. They put him in the backfield. They run a reverse with him. The guy's got all kinds of versatility, and the most impressive part of his game is the yards after catch, where he runs around, through, by, wiggles away. However he can get away from a defender, he is going to make it happen, and he's going to get big chunk yards when he gets the ball in his hand. So I think there's going to be a lot of plays designed by whatever team picks him up to throw to him short and let him go, because that is exactly what he does. He did it in the SEC with rough quarterback play and against the top defenders in the nation. So I think the whole resume is there for him to succeed in the NFL. I know that the knock on him is his route running, but when you have quarterback play like you do at Arkansas, you know, if you come in and you go and, you know, have now Matt Ryan is your quarterback and you know he's going to be accurate, now you can start running to a spot. I think all we wanted from him in college is those short plays to get the ball in his hands. So I think his route running is going to be able to improve at the next level as well, and he'll become the best wide receiver in this class. So I know he's not your favorite wide receiver in this class, but, I mean, my comp is Brandon Marshall. And Brandon Marshall is one of my favorite players, a little bit taller, a little bit leaner than Burks, but I see a lot of similarities in their game here.
Yeah, I like it, Boggs. And yes, knocks on his route running, but is it that he can't run routes, or is it that their quarterbacking was so bad they were just trying to get the ball in his hand any which way possible? So manufacturing stuff on a lot of short stuff, you know, like Deebo Samuel usage, even sort of like a giant Rondale Moore, the way he was used in college, you know?
That's a good comp. I like that one. Giant Rondale Moore.
Yeah. And I'm with you, Boggs. I mean, like, when Olave has got C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields getting him the ball, like, he's able to make flash that route running ability because he's got guys who can get him the ball deep and, you know, at the intermediate level of the field. Like, Burks didn't have that, but what he does, I mean, he is just this walking mismatch. And yes, we thought he was 6'3". He turned out to be 6'2", but 224, huge hands, really strong, like functional strength, just like totally shucks off the press, you know, like.
That's why he's so good with the yak, too, you know,
yeah.
Because those corners can't tackle him and he's going to stiff arm a corner of the ground. You better hope he doesn't catch it because it's going to be a real hard time. You got to, like, you know, drag on him and wait for the safety to help you. Every corner is Deion Sanders,
right?
You know, against him in terms of tackling. So.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, didn't run quite as fast as we thought he was going to, but he didn't run a bad time. 4.55 at that size is plenty fast. And he's shown us game speed, surprising acceleration, surprisingly smooth. And you talked about after the catch, this guy is an effort player too. He will go up and get the ball. He will, you know, try to barrel past two tacklers. Like if two guys are up on him, I mean, this guy's not going to curl up into the fetal position.
Right.
He's going to try to go through those two dudes.
Yeah.
Like, he is an effort guy. So I'm with you, man. He is a fun player.
Yeah. Do you have a different comp? Because Brandon Marshall is my favorite friend.
I don't. Like, with the size, I always look at him and I think, like, Dez Bryant, but that's probably not a good comp. I mean, like, Dez Bryant was more of a, like, he was a really good
downfield
boundary.
Threat.
Yeah, and a boundary specialist. And I don't think Burks is going to be that kind of guy. So I like your comp a little bit better.
So I'm going to give you my second guy here since Burks was your number two.
Yep.
Right? So we're both in on Burks. And we've talked about this guy, and I kind of put him at the head of tier two, George Pickens. And my comp to him, this is what I said. I've watched too much of the same school, but AJ Green and George Pickens are very, very similar coming out of Georgia to me. And they both, of course, went to Georgia. But the thing that stands out when you watch Pickens, there's two things. It's the catch radius is number one. You know, Stetson Bennett, I don't know if Stetson Bennett is a pro prospect. You know, it's hard to say no because he just won a national title and all that stuff, but I just don't think he's going to be there. So we'll see this year if he can earn his way up and be a pro prospect. But all you got to do, if Pickens is on one-on-one, just throw it up. He's coming down with that ball. He's got, you know, solid vertical, and he is going to make that catch. A 50-50 ball to Pickens is an 80-20 ball, which is what you like. I know a lot of I loved N'Keal Harry because he turned 80-20 balls, you know, 50-50 balls into 80-20 balls. The problem was with Harry, he didn't have separation. There are plenty of plays where you see Pickens wide open. He has dusted that corner. He has found the hole in the zone. Or he has pretty good hand fighting to push off a corner, which, you know, might get you a little offensive pass interference at the next level, but he can push off a guy and still go up one-handed and make a catch. So Pickens, just being I think he's going to be a better pro because he had issues at Georgia just in terms of, you know, staying healthy. These numbers that he ran, by the way, which were fairly solid during the combine, were less than a year removed from ACL surgery. So he had a little bit of injury stuff, but he ran a 4.47 at 6'3", 195, a 2.57 20-yard split, 1.5 10 split, 10'5" broad jump. So his relative athletic score ended up being 9.65, 9.37 during this process, which is just, you know, well above average. So I'm definitely in on Pickens. What are your thoughts on him going into this process here?
With you, Boggs, I think if he had not gotten hurt, based on the trajectory of his freshman year, like if he hadn't gotten hurt, we might be talking about him being in the running to be the first guy off the board. It's entirely possible. Definitely a ball in the air specialist.
Yeah.
You know, I could see him making a lot of acrobatic sideline catches in the NFL.
Kind of the opposite of Burks. They're not going to run a ton of short stuff for Pickens.
Right,
he's going to be way more of a downfield threat. So.
Yeah, he is going to be a deep A-dot guy, I think, in the NFL. And so the A.J. Green, like physically looking at him in uniform, yes, he looks like A.J. Green. It's the same body type. Exactly. So, you know, I don't know, like I've heard and I – you know, don't want to level any accusations here. I've heard maybe he's not like the greatest locker room guy.
He's had some issues.
We'll see. Yeah. But I think there's a kind of a wide range of outcomes here.
Yes, very much so.
You know, I know my Packers have had him in for a visit, I believe. So he'd be an interesting pairing with Aaron Rodgers.
Profile that they like. So
yeah, man. So I'm very intrigued.
Yeah, interesting. Who's number three for you?
Jahan Dotson, and he's going to be a second round guy, but yeah. Another speed guy, Boggs. I mean, the guy's just got like speed and 4.43 speed, but like it totally shows up on the field. And he's also one of these guys who's like surprisingly good on balls in the air, like for a smaller guy. I mean, he's 5'11", 184. He kind of reminds me of Tyreek Hill in that regard.
Yeah.
Like just a guy that small should not be good, you know, like this contested catch, high point a ball guy, but he kind of is. Really good hands, really good hands. And like, I know he was another guy, you know, for this past year, kind of a manufactured touch guy. But yeah. I mean, in the game against my Wisconsin Badgers, like he cooked us deep a couple of times.
He looks like a different player in the Big Ten. The Big Ten is a great conference, and he looks like he should be like he's, you know, a varsity guy playing on JV there.
Yeah. And like someone Anthony Amico, a guy I really respect on Twitter and like a friend of mine, like he kind of wondered aloud on Twitter, like, well, you know, why was Dotson outproduced by KJ Hamler in 2020. And it's like, I mean, that's not necessarily the worst thing. Hamler's a good guy. And it wasn't like Dotson was skunked that year, like 52 catches, 884 yards, 8 catches as a junior. And then this year, no Hamler, 91 catches, almost 1200 yards, 12 TDs. So
I think he's a better version of Hamler in my
opinion. But just speed, super good hands, and a surprisingly good contested catch guy. I like him a lot.
Stack on stack on stack. My next guy, Jalen Tolbert out of South Alabama. I think the easy comp, and I'm going to have it for my next two guys here, Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson, this just the ability to catch the ball in a tight space is incredible for Jalen Tolbert. And, you know, coming from South Alabama, another guy that didn't have the best QB play, so he had a lot of contested catches to make, and he made them. His ball tracking is unbelievable. Just being able to follow the ball and watch it into his hands. I mean, that's why he has such good hands. And he didn't put up unbelievably impressive combine numbers, right? His 4.49, which is fine. Over 6'1", under 200 pounds. So a little bit skinny, decent, broad, okay, vertical, all that stuff. But for me, it's just the fact that he is going to be a big play threat on every down. He's going to be a guy that stretches the field, that moves that safety back a step or two so that your other guys get open. And until you start believing that Jalen Tolbert is a threat, he is going to win. He is going to win those matchups one-on-one against those corners. And he's going to have some big plays. So I'm very, very excited to see Tolbert at the next level. You have any opinion on Tolbert?
I got to admit, I've seen highlights, Bogman, but not a lot of pure film because he is the small school South Alabama guy. But I know that a lot of smart people, including you, including I think Derek Brown talked about him today on my podcast, like a lot of sharp people are on him. Yeah. So I'm going to be really curious to see where he goes. I've heard that he might, you know, sneak into day two, but like put him in the right situation. It seems like he could be a guy who pops.
Who is your last wide receiver here, your fourth one?
I think you know from past shows I've been kind of fascinated with this guy, David Bell of Purdue. Like he had a really disappointing combine time, ran a 4.65. But as we know, Jerry Rice ran a 4.71. Yeah. Anquan Boldin ran a 4.71. And like, I don't know if Anquan Boldin is a good comp because I don't think David Bell is quite that physical a receiver.
Yeah. Well, who is?
Yeah, exactly. But he's... smooth. He's a good route runner. He has inside outside versatility. He's not as tough as Anquan Boldin, but he is hard to tackle after the catch. And he's a good athlete. He was like a star basketball player at like one of the power schools in Indiana in high school. And he's basically been productive from day one at Purdue. Came in as a 19-year-old freshman and had a 1,000-yard season. Like in the shortened season of 2020, he had 625 yards in six games. Basically, he's averaged about 100 yards a game for over 3 years at Purdue. So
big time prospect coming into college, yep. Five star, like number one wide receiver too. So
6'1", 209. So like, I'm not worried about the lack of pure speed. I just think this guy can play football. I don't think he's ever going to be anyone's number one receiver, but I think he pair him with like a field stretcher. And I think he can be the sort of like possession guy who, you know, a Robert Woods type.
Yeah.
You know, Woods, another guy who did not run a very good time coming into the league. And maybe that affected his draft stock. What Robert Woods was a baller. And I think David Bell is kind of the same type of dude.
I like that comp. I like that, Robert, because I think that's the ceiling, right? It is number one wide receiver that is getting tons and tons of targets. I mean, no one's a number one next to Cooper Kupp, right? But, you know, still a number one, a 1B at worst type of a wideout is his ceiling. So I like that one on Bell. I'm going to reach down a little further here, not too far, but a little bit further down from my last one. And I'm going to go with Khalil Shakir. And I always thought that, okay, I'm going to be the Jalen Tolbert guy and I'm going to like him more than Khalil Shakir. And then I watch Khalil Shakir and I'm like, oh God, I like them both so much. They're both very, very good. I think the difference is that I think Tolbert's a little more complete, specifically beating press coverage, things like that. That was a big thing that I saw in Waldman's, stuff. And when I went back and rewatched, I went, okay, that is probably the separator between Tolbert and Shakir, but they both have this, Deontay Johnson, comp. I think Shakir is going to be much better, obviously, because of the press coverage playing from the slot, which is what he's going to be best at. But I think if he plays from the slot, he's going to be a guy that is so dependable a lot, in terms of production, like Hunter Renfrow. Right. He's going to make those highlight reel catches on a regular basis. He's dependable to get open, especially against zone and in the short routes because of that first step that he's got. And he's got a nose for the end zone. He plays with intensity and he can play anywhere. I want him at the slot, but he has played outside. He has run reverses. He's been very, very versatile for this Boise State offense. And once again, another guy, a lot like Tolbert, coming from a smaller school. Those schools you play know who you're going to. They know Tolbert's getting the ball. They know Shakir's getting the ball. They do things to try to prevent it, and they can't. So that's what you like to see from those smaller school guys when you're saying, well, they're not playing the best level of competition. Well, they're not, but everybody knows the ball is going to get into their hands, and they still can't stop it. I'm a big, big Shakir fan. What do you think of him?
You used the word intensity, and you also brought out Hunter Renfrow as a possible comp, and I love that because that's what pops when you watch Shakir play, that he's just such a frigging gamer, man.
Yeah.
He is like the guy I think coaches are going to like want on their team.
Yes.
Someone's going to be really happy to get this guy.
Yeah, I am excited to watch Shakir. We're going to do tight ends. This tight end class, it's lame. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. It's not great. But we'll sand through and get a couple. So do you have two for me? Just two tight end prospects?
So, like, you know, I don't know if you're going to mention the top guy. We've talked about Trey McBride on this show. So he's like, it's the one star of the show. And then it's an ensemble cast.
Right.
The rest of it. And it's going to be, and like Thor Nystrom was talking to me about this on my show, Boggs, where he was just saying like, it's going to be a lot of day three guys. He thinks there's going to be a big tight end run in the fourth round. That's when he thinks people are going to be picking their tight ends. And he thinks there are a lot of decent candidates and all sorts of, he thinks it's basically like 31 flavors of tight ends. Like you've got your blockers, you've got your pass catchers. So I'll give you a couple. Well, let's do our shared guy first.
Well, I left him for you, but
okay.
I'm in too. So
I will share them with you because I sort of stole them. I know you're a Jeremy Ruckert guy too.
I love Jeremy Ruckert.
Yeah, like he's never had more than 309 yards receiving at Ohio State. But we have talked about this on the show.
When we were talking about Olave, we just talked about all the talent.
Target competition.
All they asked him to do was block. And then when they had him catch, he made big plays.
And we've seen him make some big plays in playoff games. Like he showed up in some of the big ones. So I like this guy. Like he just like looks the part. He had a good Senior Bowl. I know like Derek Brown was talking about how he really, you know, wowed him at the Senior Bowl. 6'5", 250. I just think he's going to be a good move tight end for someone in the NFL.
Yeah. Who's number two for you? Because I'm a big Ruckert fan. I think he's super underrated. And I think once a team started looking at his film, I would not be shocked to see him be the number two tight end off the board. I think McBride is definitely first, but I think Ruckert is going to be two.
I'll wear my Wisconsin bias on my sleeve, Bogman. And here it is, Jake Ferguson, man. I mean, he's been the best pass catcher at Wisconsin for like the last 3 years. Like he has been the go-to pass catcher as a tight end. Same size as Ruckert, 6'5", 250. Just good ball skills, man. Like he is really good at like contested catches. He's fearless. I mean, he will like stick his neck out when he knows there's someone who's going to come in and deliver him a hit right as he catches the ball, and he doesn't care. And pretty good bloodlines, being the son of Barry Alvarez, the guy who built
Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin program. So
yeah, I mean, look, I like Ferguson a ton. And if we want to talk about guys with some rough quarterback play, Mertz might be the worst Big Ten starting quarterback.
Thank you. Yes.
Hopefully he'll take a step up, but he was terrible last year. I got two for you. These are dart throws. You know, most tight ends are going to be dart throws after you get past, I'm going to say like McBride, Dulcich, Ruckert, those guys. You're going to have a lot of dart throws. Jelani Woods, and it's not production. He played high school. He played quarterback in high school. So it's not a production thing. It's a 6'7", 261, ran a unbelievable 40 time at at 4.61 here. I thought I said 4.01. I got to get glasses. 4.61 here at 6'7", 261. He's a Feldman freak. He's still learning the position, but he's an unbelievably hard worker. He's not a great blocker yet, but at 6'7", 261, all you got to do is get in the way. Just stand in the way, right? You don't have to do much outside of that. And the yak, the blocking are not there, but he's going to get open and he's going to make big plays down the seam. So I'm excited to see what team drafts Jelani Woods and see where he can go. He is a project. My second one is a bigger project. It is the San Diego State product, Daniel Bellinger, who I think is the cheap version of Jeremy Ruckert. So you probably have to be in a bigger league to draft a guy like Bellinger. He may not amount to anything in the passing game, but his blocking is going to keep him on the field. Wherever he goes, he is going to be able to block in, be a big contributor in the run game, which will earn him more opportunities. I think he was underutilized at San Diego State, a lot like Ruckert was underutilized at Ohio State, and that he can be a good pass catcher. So, but he is the biggest dart throw I have on this list for sure. And the only reason I have him on this list is because you took Ruckert. So, but that's okay. But that is going to wrap it up for us this week. Catch Fitz at Fitz_FF. What is coming up for you, this week here?
Well, we've got draft prep going. We're continuing to expand our dynasty draft kit, which is just sort of, it continues to grow. It's sort of a breathing, living thing. And we're going to be updating a lot of the player profiles after the draft. And we're going to be doing a big best ball kit after the NFL draft, because that is the height of best ball season. A lot of people in those best ball streets once the draft has gone down. So we're getting fired up for that.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I'll have a show on In This League this week about the NFL draft. Of course, you can catch me on Leading Off here on Fantasy Pros. On Friday, I'll be on there talking a little bit of baseball as well. I have CFP Winning Edge, all my other In This League fantasy baseball podcast as well. So please check all those out. You can find all my work at Bogman Sports. And we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.